Welcome back to New World Next Week. I'm James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And I'm James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com. Nobody cared. No fans said they loved the song. We have got that alt-rock economic story, plus every car a surveillance machine by 2027. But first, just taking it just straight from the bastion of truthiness to gonna get this story onto the record as it enters into legend. 2026 White House Correspondents Dinner Shooting. On the evening of April 25th, 2026, gunshots were fired near the main security screening area for the annual White House Correspondents Dinner at the Washington Hotel in Washington, D.C., former site of amazing slayings of hated presidents by Stephen Colbert. President Donald Trump, First Lady Melania Trump, Vice President J.D. Vance, and members of the cabinet evacuated by the Secret Circus. It was the first White House Correspondents Dinner that Trump bothered to attend as a sitting president. Law enforcement officials identified a suspect as 31-year-old Cole Tomas Allen, who intended to target multiple Trump administration officials. Allen was arrested near the screening area outside the banquet hall. Investigators believed he was staying at the hotel as a guest. Stephen Paddock could not be reached for comment. One officer was struck in a bullet-resistant vest and is expected to recover. Suspect taken into the hospital for a single knee injury despite not being hit by gunfire. Also doesn't have a shirt on for some reason. A manifesto that officials attributed to Allen criticized Trump administration and policies, referred to himself as the friendly federal assassin, which is always good to give yourself a name, and stated that he intended to target administration officials. The manifesto did not name Trump, but stated, quote, "I'm no longer willing to permit a pedophile rapist traitor to coat my hands with his crimes." That's probably the best thing homie said. On April 27th, yeah, very true. Allen was charged with three criminal counts: using a firearm during a crime of violence, transportation of the firearm, and interstate commerce with intent to commit a felony. They love when you cross their lines, and attempting to assassinate a U.S. president. The incident was the third apparent attempt on Trump's life since 2024, following, of course, the biggie in July 2024. The attempt near Butler, Pennsylvania, where a kid on the roof with a rifle was allowed to be there for 10 minutes before anybody did anything. Or am I confusing that with the Charlie Kirk? Yeah, I'm confusing my weird assassinations. And, of course, the lesser-known September 2024 attempt at Trump's golf club in West Palm Beach, Florida. Not the golf club, but like the resort. This is also the second apparent presidential assassination attempt at the Washington Hilton after, of course, the attempted assassination of Ronald Reagan in 1981. Judy Woodruff was heard to have made some remark about the Bushy Knoll. Also, the press secretary said there'd be shots fired. The video of Caroline Leavitt before the event saying, "Oh man, it's going to be vintage Trump. The speech is going to be great. It's going to be shots fired." And also the press. We have video of the press. The people this event was ostensibly for saying, "Man, this security's a joke." Almost like this was all a setup, or at least that's what the out-of-power conspiracy theorists say. Of course, when you're out of power, you become the activated conspiracy theorist, but when your lame-ass party is in power, you go sleepy for 4 to 8 years. So the out-of-power conspiracy theorists say it seems like a giant setup. Meanwhile, maybe the Trumpers are saying the assassination wasn't staged. Leftists are just evil. That coming from Zero Hedge and Alt Market U.S. So basically, James, the last 25 years in the U.S. are "America haters did it" versus "No, America haters are stupid since after 9/11 and especially since 2016, rather. James, pretty wild event there for you. What do you think of that on your side of the world?
You know what? I'm incensed because the worst thing that has happened in this past decade of the era of Trump is that we, unfortunately, in the conspiracy reality community have been effectively divided and conquered because people who formerly supposedly knew that all politics is fake and staged, now they got to come out and defend it because it's the damn libs and all of this kind of nonsense. No, this was fake and staged, like everything that happens on the political stage is fake and staged. The only question is to what degree and in what way was it fake and staged? And Leavitt coming out and saying shots fired at a comedy roast kind of thing to me is not is not exactly case closed kind of material. That is a common expression that is often used, and I don't think she was signaling special insider information for no particular reason on national television. Hey, I'll just put out the secret code word. The Fox reporters talking about the complete joke of the lack of security at the event seems more to the point, and that should be ringing alarm bells for yourself and everyone else in the Corbett Report podcast audience. Who knows? Say it with me. PosiWid. The purpose of a system is what it does. And we now know that the Secret Service, at least in the past 2 years, has allowed, what, 1, 2, 3 crazy lone nut weirdos to take pot shots at the president or get damn close? So the purpose of the Secret Service, at least under the Trump administration, is to allow shooters to shoot at the president. That is the purpose of the Secret Service at this point. The question would be why. The obvious answers that present themselves are the ones that, oh, for example, every single MAGA influencer instantly activated in the immediate aftermath of the shooting. This is why we need a ballroom. Yeah, of course, that wasn't a pre-planned message that was being put out there. The other thing that they can do, of course, is inject the steroids of the security state into the arm of the Department of Homeland Security, because what's one of these things that this guy did in order to avoid getting caught? He went on a train, because we don't have metal detectors and gunshot detectors or whatever on trains. So that's how he got around the system. So now we have to start cracking down on all forms of travel, not just airlines. We have to bring the TSA to the train station. Whatever kind of nonsense security, homeland security kind of crap they're going to shove down people's throat as a result of this. But hey, once again, just like we brought the UFO fun to the missing scientist story, why don't we bring the craziness to this story? And for those who haven't seen it, look into the ex-Twitter account of, what is it, Henry Martinez, who tweeted Cole Allen in 2023 with the art that, hey, if you do the magic slider thingy, hey, it looks exactly like the Butler, Pennsylvania photo, guys. Clearly. And where did that image come from? It came from a website called Time Machine. So clearly, this is time-traveling AI of some sort that is staging all of this. Anyway, I think we can all agree this is fake and staged. The only question is to what extent and on what level. And it certainly seems that the security has been set up so that it will allow crazy people, real, fake, staged, time-traveling AI, or just nut jobs, to come in and take pot shots at the president.
And everybody stealing all the champagne, and just the general sense of, you're not acting like someone's firing a gun at you. I don't know. It just seems a little like everybody was kind of chill. I saw one meme that was like, this is the face you make when you know it's fake, and it's Trump making some smirk. As it doesn't even, you know, it looks like it's Melania double number 87 sitting next to him as well. There's, again, the conspirabait baked into the cake on every single event now, as it has been for pretty much the last decade, because conspiracies are hot. They are the most popular thing in the world. The thing we do in our apartments, people now imitate and make multi-millions of dollars, because this is boom, boom, box office, man. James, are you basically saying Caroline Leavitt is what it's sort of be like saying, going on TV and saying, we're going to pull it? Probably didn't happen. Casbot was telling me, listening to terrestrial radio in the car, NPR, National Propaganda Radio, talking about the differences between left and right conspiracy theorists now. And they maybe even said the real difference is that the left is sad that the right gets so many clicks with their conspiracy theories. And yes, they've threatened to put TSA on trains for years in the past. I'm honestly kind of surprised they haven't done it, probably because it's not worth it for them. But yeah, trains in D.C., rather important transportational function to the District of Criminals. And I, of course, make fun of D.C., but D.C. is beautiful. James, I spent a lot of time in D.C. I'm originally from the East Coast. Their metro, their transit system, the D.C. metro is lovely. The stations underground are some of the most beautiful architecture, probably featured, I believe, on that documentary House of Cards. Whew, that's how we get going on New World Next Week, episode 628. Our second story, and everything we say and talk about on these shows, for nearly 17 years. Always linked up down in the show notes. Every new car could become a surveillance machine by 2027, and it may decide if you can drive. This isn't some distant concept or experimental feature that might show up years from now. By 2027, every new car sold in the United States could be required to actively monitor the person behind the wheel. That means watching your eyes, tracking your behavior, and constantly evaluating whether you're alert enough to drive. For a lot of people, that may start to feel like surveillance and not safety. And the part that's catching people off guard is how much control these systems could actually have. Tucked into broader federal safety initiative passed by the previous pedo president is a requirement for impaired driving detection technology in all new vehicles. The goal, as it always does, sounds so simple enough. You don't want your demented grandma wandering around. Get her a microchip. Reduce crashes caused by drunk or fatigued drivers. It is a problem that's been, of course, around for decades, and lawmakers trying to address it with new technology. To do that, automakers will need to install systems that monitor drivers in real time. These systems rely on cameras and sensors that track things like eye movement, head position, and overall attentiveness. It's not just observing. It is constantly analyzing what the driver is doing. This is where the conversation starts to shift. If the system detects what it believes is impairment, it just doesn't issue a warning and move on. In some cases, it could prevent the vehicle from starting or limit how it operates once you're already driving. That means the car itself becomes the decision maker, not the person in the driver's seat. Insert quote from 2001, A Space Odyssey documentary right here. For many drivers, that immediately raises concerns. It introduces a scenario where a machine decides whether you're allowed to use something on your own based on its interpretation of your behavior. That creates the possibility of false positives that could prevent someone from driving when they're actually fine. And you can imagine how many scenarios could go bad in this situation. Always talking, of course, about needing to take care of people. We need to protect our women. Oh, whoops, they're all stranded on the side of the road because the car decided that they didn't like them at that moment. And our Zionist pedo Congress critters, of course, already approved all this. Yeah, tucked it into a bill back a few years ago. And I was playing a video, a dramatization on my morning show the other morning of a guy panicked trying to start his car. And he was like, we had an accident on the farm and I cut myself with a chainsaw, but the car won't start because it thinks I'm panicked and freaked out. So it won't even let you drive yourself to the hospital while you bleed to death because you're acting like a, you know, you're acting kind of like a panicky Pete. The video has an obscene title, but it is included on my Media Monarchy, on my morning show from yesterday. James, did you hear about this on your morning monarchy?
I did indeed. So thank you for bringing it to my attention. And when I heard it, the first thing that I thought about was a Solutions Watch that I did last year with Eric Peters of Eric Peters Autos. And we talked about car freedom and the various things that are coming along to take your freedom away from you in your ability to travel freely from one place to another. And this type of technology. So this sort of thing has been on my radar for a while, but I didn't realize it had reached the legislative stage and was already coming into force. So on that thought, I went and checked ericpetersautos.com for the latest to see what he's writing about, and found a post on Too Lame to Drive from a few days ago where he notes a patent application filed by General Motors for a machine learning algorithm that analyzes walking speed, stride length, and balance to build a comprehensive picture of a person's condition. Irregular patterns, such as an inability to walk in a straight line, visible unsteadiness, or an abnormal pace, are then flagged as potential warning signs and measured against a predetermined threshold to determine whether the individual is fit to drive. So it's not even when you are in the driver's seat getting ready to start the car. It's looking at you as you're walking up to the car with all the cameras that are, of course, plastered all over the cars these days. So all of this technology that is there for your convenience, guys, is, of course, weaponized against you. It is surveilling you and everything you're doing at all times. And they are just building out the apparatus of the technocratic enslavement state, piece by piece by piece, always, of course, to keep you safe from yourself. No, you don't get to decide if you're in any state to drive. Your car will decide whether you're in a state to drive by based on, I don't know, the way you walk up to it and everything else. And of course, Of course, this is just the pretense for being able to turn off everyone's ability to drive or do anything else with any of their other devices or anything else that they've got these devices slapped on at any time, on the pretense that it's there to keep you safe. We know what this is really about. It is about an agenda that goes far beyond keeping people safe. It goes to the heart of the security apparatus that is there to secure the state against you and any would-be dissidents or anyone that they don't want on their tax cattle plantation. So I guess what is the question? What is the real answer to these questions? Well, the answer would have to be, well, what can we do to take these types of technologies and strip them of the surveillance state apparatus, or get some of the old timey analogy type of technologies? Do you remember a car that was just a car that you just turn the key and there you go? And you might have maybe some kind of, like, you know, radio or something, but that's it. And no digital displays and none of that garbage. Well, maybe that will become hot again. And there may be a growing gray market in those types of technologies in the future. And so that's just something to think about when you're thinking about your next purchase for your next vehicle.
And it just strikes me, hopefully, people out there are already figuring out how to essentially jailbreak these new corporate cars so you can strip that sort of control out of it, like we've had to do on all of our tracking device fondle slabs. I told the story on my show. We were talking about the trucks that we don't own. I went to the DMV here in New Mexico on Tuesday, and I went in my 1999 Chevy Silverado with Beck's Odelay on cassette tape, which I apparently know back and forward. I think it must have been in the water in college in 95. But I got a tape player. It's got all the good old classic stuff. And that's what they called it at the DMV. I'm trying to get it moved in. Because, of course, I'm not allowed to just own a vehicle. The state has to be aware of every single thing that a friend privately gave me a vehicle. They got to be all up in that. So I'm trying to get this crap transferred into New Mexico. And what do they call my vehicle? Oh, well, that's classic. It's like, okay, my 1999 is classic. I will absolutely take that. And we wonder, you don't like those Indian H-1B visas and all those dudes taking all those trucker jobs? Well, we'll just have to roll out a national ID and we'll be able to totally stop those guys. And I talked specifically on my morning show covering this story about the Ford patents related to this story, about watching you, about the tracking you, about the shutting down of the vehicle. Some of them even discuss it'll essentially, if you're on the road, it'll go, yeah, I'm going to pull you over to the right side. Places patent a lot of things. James, you know this. They sometimes just use it to control the market so that nobody else can come out and make it. You know, so we can't have cars that run on, like, water or weed. A lot of times I think the patents are used for the occulting of things. And we shall see what the case is in this situation. Our third and final story on this pretty awesome New World Next Week, episode 628. You know we're in good territory when the headline is Smashing Pumpkins frontman Billy Corgan just offered a great lesson in economics. In 1997, when the Smashing Pumpkins were arguably the world's top alternative rock band, they released a promo single, The Beginning is the End is the Beginning, in conjunction with one of the year's best-selling films, Batman and Robin. The stars seemed aligned for a hit. Boy, loving Joel Schumacher's movie had an A-list cast, George C.F.R. Clooney, Arnold Screw-Your Freedom Schwarzenegger, and Uma Weinstein's Boy Almost Killed Me Thurman. And it was, of course, a financial success, taking home an estimated $240 million at the box office worldwide. I believe that's the budget now of most Disney movies. Yet, the song bombed. It was a disaster, Pumpkins frontman Billy Corgan said in a recent appearance on the podcast, and the writer is, nobody cared. No fan said they loved the song. Nothing. Yet something remarkable happened. About 15 years later, the song appeared in another comic book movie adaptation. This time around, the movie was Zack Snyder's 2009 dystopian drama, The Watchmen, of course, based on the legendary Alan Moore book from DC Comics, which featured the Smashing Pumpkins tune in its trailer, keeping it in the, you know, the DC universe. Suddenly, The Beginning is the End is the Beginning was a hit. After a decade and a half of irrelevance, it was on the top 100 of iTunes, which didn't exist when it first came out. Corgan explained that the visuals of Snyder's film seemed to connect people to the music, turning the theme song for the song from nothing nobody gave a ish about to an instant classic. the rediscovered gem, taught the Pumpkins frontman something important. It's not up to us to assess value, Corgan said. And he's right. And the insight carries a deeper economic lesson. Whether you're a musician, craftsman, vacuum salesman, you don't determine the value of your product. Consumers do, through the marketplace. Whether he realized it or not, Corgan is describing one of the most important ideas in economics. Subjective value is an idea as old as humanity. The worth of a good or service is not inherent in the object itself, no matter how much sometimes we want it to be. Nor is value determined by how hard its maker worked or how much labor was put into it, though some Marxists have trouble giving up on that idea. Many people, including economists, struggle to fully grasp the idea that value doesn't reside in things themselves. Value comes from how individuals perceive and prioritize goods in a particular time and place. The idea sits at the center of economics, and it helps us understand why exchange makes the world prosperous. Many people, happy to pay $10,000 for Taylor Swift concert tickets. We wouldn't do that because we're not a fan of her music. It's not for us. Prices help determine how other people value the goods and services in a marketplace, but the value isn't inherent. Consumers are ultimately the real masters in a free market economy, which in some ways, maybe, James, the digital music landscape has maybe never been more democratized, and that now what people are actually listening to, even if it is 15 out of 20 Taylor Swift songs, if that's a more honest representation, then isn't that better? Their power over the beginning is the end is the beginning, and every other consumption good hinges on the reality of subjective value. Almost done. It may not be any easier to understand why someone would pay $12 million for a baseball card or $6 million for a banana duct taped to a wall, but we can explain why water is cheap in most circumstances, even though it is essential to human life. Many people think there's something wrong or immoral about subjective value. Economists know better, and now we know that at least some musicians do as well. Pop quiz, hotshot. What did Zack Snyder get his directing start on, James?
You have me. I have no idea.
That's right. Morrissey's Tomorrow video from 1992's Your Arsenal. So, of course, crazy. He gets a start for Morrissey. There yeah. you go.
You know, Patrick Willems just had a whole video up about the video music director to film director pipeline. I don't think he mentioned Zack Snyder in particular, though. Anyway, fascinating. Well, finally, after all these years, James, we are getting to my favorite economist, William Patrick Corgan Jr., who comes out with the subjective theory of value, that probably his most important economic treatise since that great treatise, Cherub Rock. Who wants that honey as long as there's some money? Here we go. Yes, subjective theory of value. And for people who don't understand, it's like Posywood. It seems very simple, a very simple observation, but it's extremely powerful and extremely explanatory. I don't know about you, James, but in my work, I have noticed over the years that I can never, ever predict what is going to catch on with the audience and what is not. And there are times when I put my heart and soul into a podcast or into an article or writing the story of Freedom Day or something like that and get crickets. No one cares. And then there's another podcast I put out and I'm like, I don't know if I said that. Like, is anyone going to, and people love it for some reason. I have no idea what's going to catch on with the audience. So I think this is an adequate demonstration of the economic utility of that observation, and also perhaps encouragement for the struggling artists in the crowd that it isn't necessarily, you know what you have put into something and what you think it's worth, and for other people to see that and understand it, maybe it just needs to be recontextualized, put into some different movie trailer or something like that, and suddenly people understand the value and the beauty of something that you put out whatever, decades ago. It can happen, and it does happen, and that's to the good. Again, what are markets other than information signaling devices and signaling the revealed preference value of something through what people are willing to pay for it? So if you are willing to pay and shell out tens of thousands of dollars for your next slave spy device known as a car or your fondle slab, you are showing that you value that thing. You are giving your resources so that you can get that thing. Imagine if people started revealing their preference for privacy preserving, you know, old analog tech. Wow. Imagine that. And then you'd have all these corporations and businesses going, hey, I want some of that, exactly as they're trying to steal the thunder of, you know, our, you know, conspiracy reality podcasts. Now you have CNN broadcasters trying to look like podcasters because people have revealed a preference for this type of information, and they're trying to fool you into thinking that, hey, we're just like you, right, kids? Anyway, so beautiful, powerful message. It's the beauty of the market. It's the power of the market. And the only question is, will people in our audience put their money where their mouth is and support us in the work that we're doing? Is it valuable to you? Reveal it. Show us that it is valuable to you. And there are different ways that people can do that. James, how can people do that?
Well, I used to like to say, put your money where my mouth is. And you can get advertising-free radio made by a lifelong radio music passionate guy. James, I hopped out of frame for just a moment because I remembered you're talking about physical media and things. Someone did gift me the new Taylor Swift on cassette tape. I haven't opened it yet, you know, because that might ruin the collector value. Also, I paid way less than folks do for Taylor Swift tickets to, you know, hop on stage and hug Morrissey. I don't care what you pay for Taylor Swift. You ain't jumping on stage and hugging her, I guarantee you. What a very monarchy episode this was of New World Next Week. And I'll tell you, here's how to order. We do run newworldnextweek.com. And that's the place for Corbett gear. No, wait, that's my baseball cap. Like Monarchy hoodies, Corbett toques, all the DVDs. We have got the new Corbett USB coming up very, very soon. My original Octopus radio play. Interested in Epstein? We did a radio play about it and how it connects to West Virginia in the 1990s. I think there's a lot of value. And yeah, James, whether it's you or whether it's bands talking about, man, we sweated over this thing and nobody really cared. But the thing you knocked out over the weekend ends up being like, oh, that's the number one single from the album. And what is your most, I believe, your most popular video is the short, funny one you made, 9/11, a conspiracy theory. You rattled that one off and that one's the one people love. Maybe sometimes people like the work that don't have our ugly faces on it, I suppose. So speaking of our ugly faces, I want to also remind you about the post office box, the original private communication source. Media Monarchy, P.O. Box 189, El Rito, New Mexico, 87530. Always linked down in your show notes. That's a way you can support myself. You can support James Corbett. If you don't do, you know, the whole digital money thing, just make sure you include an email. And if you're wanting a membership. And I do play the exclusive unpublished audio of these New World Next Week episodes. Only me, James, and Brocken heard them, and you get to hear them after my Morning Monarchy broadcast Thursday. That's around 10 a.m. Mountain Time here at MediaMonarchy.com/listen. James, that is New World Next Week 628, man. Crazy.
You know, it's funny you bring that up, James, because I'll always remember the kind person who wrote in about a week after I released 9/11 conspiracy theory and that started to go viral and suddenly got millions of new people seeing my work for the first time. And I released my next video, which is just a regular sort of Corbett Report video. And this person writes in to say, your new video's all right, but maybe you should speak a little faster and maybe it should be a little funnier and maybe you shouldn't be on screen. As in, why don't you just do 9/11 and conspiracy theory videos forever? Anyway, sorry guys, this is me and this is what I do. But if you do like it, I hope people will support the work. Anyway, James, thank you for doing what you do and for informing my work as well. So thank you.
Thanks so much, buddy. That is my pleasure. I appreciate you, man.